You have queued up the Roulette Tapes, a program of adventurous music and conversation recorded at the New York City Concert Hall, Roulette. You can hear thousands of concert recordings from Roulette's past and present and find news of upcoming events celebrating innovation and imagination at roulette.org. Aren't you curious?
Welcome to this edition of the Roulette Tapes. I'm Susan James. As an instrument, the saxophone can display many voices, and we'll hear some of that variety in the performances of tenor saxophonist Zoe Amba. In the span of a single piece, she'll coax sounds evoking great power, bold statements, and soft, reflective, spiritual refrains. Zoe Amba joined us in the studio to discuss two recent performances at Roulette, 2022's record release for her recording Bhakti, and 2024's concert featuring the Zoe Amba Sun Quartet. Here's Zoe Amba.
This is Zoe Amba. I play the saxophone and guitar and write songs and searching for it all in the sound. My history, I grew up in the South and wrote a lot of songs in a notebook and was a really sad kid and prayed a lot on my hands and knees, and then somehow got given the gift of the horn and searching for what I think we're all searching for inside of the horn. And I've been really fortunate to meet a lot of sacred souls searching for the same thing and coming together and just following this little pathway to it. In September 2022, I had the record release of Bhakti at Roulette, but it was a different band and a different energy than the record, because I have to just be honest that the record in my mind was going to be my one and only record before I left music for good, honestly. And Dr. Tyshawn Sorey and Micah Thomas are on the record, and I'll just quickly say I met Tyshawn in San Francisco, and when I first heard him, I was sobbing and my shirt was soaking wet and of my tears, and we developed a deep relation, and he was the first person to really support my heart and what I was searching for. And that recording session was the first time we ever played music together, and it was that whole record was like from beginning to end is what the studio was. There's no edits, it was just completely raw. And I was going to go be a monk last year and leave everything, and they knew that when we went into the studio, so it wasn't really, it was kind of just like to get it all out and let it sit somewhere while I left. That was kind of the plan. So there wasn't really anything other than just like three people who really are like deep family. We all love each other, Tyshawn, Micah, and Micah's like a brother to me. And just like getting it all out and loving each other, and then kind of was like a goodbye, it kind of felt like. And then a lot changed for me in that year, and I was like, all right, well, let's do a record release because it's coming out. And I loved Roulette, or I heard about Roulette, and Emmanuel Wilkins told me I should contact Roulette, so he sent an email in and introduced me to Jim and all them, and they let me give the show there, which I was really surprised. And Tyshawn couldn't do it, so I had Mark, who was like, Mark Edwards is one of the greatest drummers ever alive, and we had developed a great friendship, and so took him in to that idea, and yeah, that was the record release. The Sun Quartet came about through, it's so funny, like talking about all this, like kind of glancing at the time passing and how much of life has changed and happened in between those two concerts is insane. I'll say I got commissioned by Roulette to do this band, and I felt like really surprised and honored, and like, I think also this past year was one of the most difficult ones in my life, and I was really fortunate to meet these souls, Miguel Marcel Russell, who I think is absolutely the most beautiful soul ever, and we've played a lot together, and every time we come back together, it's like we're growing in our own ways, but also growing together in sound. So I heard him play, and I heard this sacred thing in him, and I just knew we would help each other get to this place, and then I remember actually I talked at this school that Caroline was at, like, on my birthday last year, and she was a student there when I went to go talk to this class. And I remember looking around the room, and I saw her eyes. I didn't even know what she played. I just saw her eyes, and it made me feel like I was going to cry. Like, I knew, like, I just felt something with her, and then I found out she was a bass player, and I started, she don't know this, but I started hearing her all over town, and I just look at her, and I just feel like I could cry. She's a really special soul, and then we started playing music together, and it was very special, and then Lex, Nick Dunstan, actually, who's a sacred friend and sacred musician, I asked him what pianist he thinks would align well with what I was looking for, and he said Lex Corton. And then I started, after this conversation happened, I started running into Lex all over the city, and I never ran into him. So it was like everything was aligning, and then I asked him if they wanted to do this, and we played together, and it was so special, and I was like, okay, this is the what I want to use. Like, I hear this in the commission, and so within the Sun Quartet, I've been figuring out how to, because I don't notate traditionally music. I've been, thanks to Dr. Taishan Sori, I remember also, I'm jumping around a lot, but I remember last year at Big Ears, we were sitting in this cafe, and he told me to find my own way to notate sound and how I hear things. So that's been something I've been thinking on and also trusting. And the people that love you and believe in each other, believe in also learning how to communicate, even if it's in untraditional ways. And so that's kind of what I was doing with different writings. I showed them like an opener that was graphic with lines, and trying to notate energy. Honestly, like notate energy rising in different hits. And in the beginning of the show, there was four hits, or there was this piano thing that Lex did. And I showed him this idea on piano, and then said four hits, and then a big fifth hit to like push into the space. And so everything, I think a lot of people that talked about this thought it was completely improvised, but it actually wasn't. A lot of it, even the stuff that was deeply improvised, was like we all talked about of how do we like carve out these spaces to like really submerge in these spaces. And it's a process we're working on. And I remember too, like the day before the roulette show, we were rehearsing, and we were in it, like we were in it. It was like feeling really good, but also when you're young and you're working on something, you're like, is this it? Or kind of like in this blissful delusion, you know? And so we were kind of like, we trust each other, we love each other, feeling it, but is this really, kind of, I think all of us, because it was something new and it was something intense that is kind of different for all of us. And there was a knock on the door. And I turned around and it was Reggie Workman, and he was like, who are you? And what is this band? And he kind of, in a way, that was like a blessing from God, you know, like knocking at the door, and it was Reggie, and all of us, our hearts were pounding, and we were like, whoa. And this is the day before the roulette show, so we all just looked at each other like, all right, we're on to something. And so this, but anyway, this band, honestly, like, not to get too deep, but it's kind of been like my saving grace these days of like, and it has just begun, but it's something like, when you feel like your life's kind of falling apart in different ways, like, it's interesting how different sounds kind of pull you forward, and this band has been something that's, in the idea of it and their own. Also, like, I've played in a lot of different bands, and this is the first band that I felt like, not to sound dramatic, but we would all, like, die for each other in sound, and we hold each other up, and we're not letting nobody slip through, we're all going together, and if we're not all going together, when none of us are going, you know? And that's how this band feels, and there's a lot of love in the band. And even just sitting with each other, like looking at each other's eyes, like you just feel the love and surrendering to it. And also the beauty, and we're all young and getting to know each other in 20 years, God willing, you know?
Thank you.
When I was a child, I grew up in Tennessee, Kingsport, Tennessee, and you're kind of surrounded by mountains, and kind of like there's this thing called Lucinda Williams talks about it. It's called the Gothic South, and there's a lot of stuff people don't talk about in all ways, and a lot of it is like drug abuse. And now that I'm getting older, I understand it a lot more, and especially touring. I tell you, I understand a lot of things more than I used to, but. My mother was an addict, and I grew up with a single mother who had twins, so I have a twin brother. But my father was always in prison, so I never, it's not touchy. None of this is touchy anymore, you know? But my mother, when you take pills, you are not, you're not who you are, so you turn into this other thing. But as a kid, you don't understand that it's wrong or right. You're just kind of sitting in it, you know? And also growing up in the Bible Belt, you turn every corner and there's a church. And you start get to an age where you start seeing the other families who are like normal, you know. And I'm like, wait a minute, this what is this? And I started kind of being like, whoa, this is not right. Like, this doesn't feel right. And then asking all these questions. I think around 12, I was asking all these questions. I also like got a guitar in my hands, and I had a notebook that was like about 2 inches or whatever, and I had all these songs in it, like writings in. And they weren't very good, but I was writing all these songs. But it wasn't enough to keep me wanting to be here, I'll be honest. And I prayed on my hands and knees for months. And this story is everywhere, but it's a true one. I think a lot of people glamorize the story. It's not such a glamorous story, to be honest. But I meant it. I prayed on my hands and knees every night, begging to go to heaven. And I meant it. And I'd wake up, and I'd just cry. And I'd be like, really? Like, I'm your child. Like, I think you made a mistake. Like, come on, come on. Like clinging, like come on, come on. And then I heard this, I heard Charlie Parker when I was a kid, and I heard this beautiful sound. I heard Prez, Lester Young. And I was like, man, like, oh man. And I heard this beautiful sound surrounded by things that were not beautiful in this world, you know. And I was like, oh man. And it genuinely felt like it filled up my heart and my soul. And it like felt like this hand coming into my heart and like, guiding me forward, because I would not be here if it wasn't for hearing this music. Because unfortunately, the songwriting music wasn't enough for me to keep me here, and I was ready to tap out and go to another place. But then the sound, Bird and Prez and all these sacred souls, it reached deeper in me somehow. And around this time, I brought a tenor saxophone home. My mother did not like the saxophone, so I had to play outside, which a lot of people think is glamorous too, but it wasn't. I was so upset. I was up there in the winter. I was out there in the summer, the South summer, you know, and I was just upset. And but when I would play the horn, I remember the first time I brought home the tenor saxophone, I didn't know nothing. I was just blowing through it, and I got lost in it, and I had tears running down my face like that. And that feeling too, when I had the tears running down my face and like surrendering to this thing, was the same feeling I felt when I heard Tyshawn Sorey. And it was the same feeling I felt like a couple months ago when I heard Wadado Leo Smith too. So this feeling has been coming to me like very like spot, but when it comes and it's like, I don't know what it is. It's like very intense. It's the most beautiful. It's like a reminder of why we're here. And it hits me when I least expect it. Or when I not looking for it, it kind of comes. Anyway, the tenor came in my life, and I kind of was like begging for to go to this other place. And within the sound, I was able to find this place that I don't even know what it was. It was more just intense feelings and understanding, and I was able to understand a lot. And also around this time, I heard Albert Eiler. And I talk about him. I used to be scared because they used to draw all these connections. I sound nothing like Albert Eiler, and I never will. Nobody will ever sound like this sacred soul. And everyone will sound like themselves because everyone is sacred. But let me just put that on to you. I don't sound like Albert. I never will, and I never was trying to sound like Albert. And people that think that, you're not hearing the right thing. when I listen to him, I listened to him tell his story about his mother and his father and his brother, and how his father would beat him and he would have tears running down his legs, and that was something I understood. Also the way he heard it and the way he was drawn to sound, was something that made me want to go inside my own heart, not sound like anybody, but find something to cling on to. You know what bhakti means? It's like a deep devotion towards something greater than yourself. It could be God, it could be something greater than that, whatever you feel. Yeah, that's what it means.
Tenor saxophonist Zoe Amba, with reflections on her history and music. You can view these concerts on our website at roulette.org/archive. The Roulette Tapes is a part of the Roulette Concert Archives, a project made possible in part with support from the National Endowment for the Arts. David Weinstein is Roulette's Director of Special Projects and Senior Producer of the Roulette Tapes. I'm Susan James. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to The Roulette Tapes, a program of adventurous music and conversation. This series is produced by Roulette Intermedium. You can find thousands of concert recordings from Roulette's archives and news of upcoming events at roulette.org.